This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. It's John and Lance.
I destroyed.
John's ripping Coors Light families apart.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5. Thank you to Coach Sumlin for hanging out with us here. He is here every week. He got his first win. Congratulations. 713-780-3776. Let's go. We're an hour in. We're taking calls now. Why don't you guys just take over the show for this hour? Whatever you guys want to talk about. 713-780-3776. Chris is first up here. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. Hey, I have some questions. And I wanted to just, like, I like Dana Brown. The other day he was on, when the game was on, and the guys could ask him some questions on the TV. He's very open and honest, I feel like. But my questions are on Houston's GMs in general. And Lance, maybe because you know a lot about the football behind the scenes stuff. I feel like everybody's coy in the sense of, like, or maybe they're maybe still, like, emotionally attached to who that we have on the roster. I think about Rafael Stone not, John, you brought up not going after Jose Alvarado or point guard. You know, maybe our Astros GM underestimating pitchers. And then most of all, the GM with the Texans, Nick, saying, you know, we don't have a lineman problem yet. We draft, you know, a year ago, two linemen and bring in three free agents. And we can all clearly see, what is it with the GM role in particular? It seems like we as fans and you guys as sportscasters or sports, you know, talk hosts and Lance, I know you work for the NFL Network, that can see things clearly with our own two eyes that they can't see. I mean, if you would have told me at the beginning of the year we don't have Cromber, or maybe last year, next year we don't have Cromber and we're going to lose Hunter, how are we going to do? I'd be like, well, our season's done. What is it maybe about these GMs that isn't seeing what we see clearly with our own eyes? And I'll hang up and listen. Maybe I'm way off base.
Well, yeah, like you're assuming they're not going to tell you. I mean, Dana Brown may go home to his wife and say exactly what we're saying. There's a good chance of that, actually. So to assume that Dana can't see that, I don't know if that's the case. Like, if you're a general manager and you're getting paid to put a winning product on the field, and you're going to say whatever you need to say, public facing. But that doesn't mean you don't go home and think a certain way. But they do. I mean, there is a level of. I do think, John, you've been around this long enough to know, and I've been around it long enough to know too. There's sometimes I talk to NFL teams, and I just think, how did you? Like, there is a little bit of a blind spot for teams. Sometimes,
yeah, but it's not like Nick isn't every year. I'm not sure, and I just read a piece on the acquisitions and the losses for the Houston Texans.
Right.
It's not like he doesn't realize the offensive line sucks. He's doing something every year.
But he said there was nothing to worry about last year.
Well, because.
Do you think he meant that?
No. No, he did not. He did not mean that. No, well, they did. It's not like they didn't address it, though. He addressed it again this offseason.
Yeah, you had to address it.
Whether or not he's going about it the right way is another question.
When he said it, I think he did believe that.
Well,
when he said it at the time, obviously after the fact anyway, like, you've got a bunch of guys who are free agents. I mean, that's just the way it goes.
Well, didn't we feel like the offensive line was better this past year than the year before?
Yeah, but it wasn't a non-concern.
No, it wasn't a non-concern.
It was a concern. They couldn't run the ball very well.
No. But they addressed it. And you know what? Listen, we're not hamstrung like they are financially. Just go get guys. Well, Dana Brown went out and got guys. He got Weiss. He got Kai Wei Tang. He got Burrows. It's not like he Imai. Just sat on his hands.
Imai.
I mean, it's not like, oh, you know what? We don't see this. No, but he's limited as far as what he can do financially. He thought he was going to be able to go out and get some big name starting pitcher, go out and pay for a top line guy, and he wasn't. He couldn't. He didn't. Whether or not he could, I don't know. But he decided to spend the money differently in getting more bulk as opposed to just one guy that was going to be at the top of the rotation because he's already got a top. Listen, it's not. I don't think these guys are blind to the same thing that we see. It's just how they go about fixing it. I am a little disappointed in Rafael and that he didn't do anything. He sat on his hands when Fred went down.
Yeah, in your opinion.
No, in fact, he didn't do anything.
That's true, I guess.
It's a fact. He didn't do anything. And that was, and then with his comment about, well, maybe it's not our year, that's just, I've never heard a GM say that, if you want to know the truth. Never heard it. So that was a little bit disheartening. But him just sitting on his hands the entire offseason, because Fred went down early and he had plenty of time. Plus, before the trade deadline, I was like, what the hell? Done nothing? Nothing?
Right.
But maybe he, you know what? They have different limitations than we do. We can spend
all the money. Well, we already know what the limitations are for Dana Brown. I never bought into that. I never thought he was actually going to come up with some big-name guy. I mean, Dylan Cease may have been. I don't know. I don't. The Astros have years and years now of showing us who they are. And it's not, and I don't mean that. I know it sounds like in a bad way. It's not in a bad way. Jim is going to be, he wants to win. He's not going to be financially irresponsible relative to his bottom line. When he makes decisions, he's going to do it. Basically, he's been willing before to step out, and he's done it when he thinks he has a chance to win a World Series. He doesn't do it for long term. He's not going to put dumb money out there, and that's understandable. It's understandable. It's not tenable. The contracts that were given out in Major League Baseball, 8 to 10 to 11 years, is not tenable. It's not a smart move. It's frustrating for fans because you just lose your free agents that way.
Well, it's easy to say, you know, would you rather be the Angels or the Astros? Look at the stupid contracts that they've given out the last 20, 15.
Well, they did also didn't hit on the players.
They didn't hit on Rendon.
Rendon was a disaster. Pujols was relatively a disaster.
And Trout, and then you can't, all that money what you, when but you what got are you nothing
do?
Around.
But what are you going to do? Trout was a magnificent player. You can't lose him. He's the only draw you had. He and Ohtani were the draws.
Right.
And so Trout for a long
Ohtani
time.
Ohtani walk and yeah.
Like you're not gonna let your Akeem Olajuwon or your Craig Biggio or I don't even know whoever you want to say, your Andre Johnson, whatever, however you want to say it. You're not letting Trout leave. You had to pay him.
But you got zero playoff wins to show for it.
Yeah, yeah. You got stuck by a guy who got hurt a lot too. But I don't blame them for that. And the Pujols, I got it at the time. It seemed too long to me. And Rendon, I mean, look, they got stuck by long term deals. And if you miss, you can't get out of it after a couple years. You miss on a baseball deal, you are food. Can you imagine if the Astros had given Christian Javier a 7-year deal? Can you imagine that?
No.
I mean, what a nightmare that would have been.
Well, yeah. I mean,
That would have been, you'd have had to pay Christian Javier 7 years, $25 million would have been had he been just a flat free agent, that would have been his rate, minimum.
But look at the money between the wasted money on McCullers, the wasted money on Javier, the wasted money on Montero, the wasted money on Abreu. I mean, it's just been they've made some the decisions that they have made, the middle, not the highest high end, but the relatively middle or just a step below decisions that they made have been horrendous. They've been bad. And yet here they are. Still, I say that. They paid Altuve. They paid Alvarez. They paid Jordan. You know, they gave Bregman an extension that helped. So, I mean, it's not like they failed on all of them. It just seems like, and yet here they are, still one of the better teams in baseball. You could be the Mets. You could be the Mets or the Angels throwing all that money around. And not having anything to show.
Yeah, but you could be the Astros and lose all your best players just systematically over time.
Well, would you rather be the Astros or the Mets?
Yeah, I'd rather not be. Obviously, rather be the Astros, but it's frustrating. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what we're arguing about here.
Don't see it. It's not like they don't see it.
Yeah,
it's just that Dana knows how they go about it.
Yeah, Dana knows his guys are going bye-bye. What he's asking is, did the team see who they actually are? Well, obviously, they make moves based on the fact that they think they're going to be successful. I talked to a team the other day that has an offensive lineman ranked in a certain spot, and I'm like, what in the hell? And listen, this is a team that I have been, well, it was an O-line coach. And this is a guy that I have won on that, where I've looked at guys that they liked and even drafted where I said, what in the hell? And I've been right on them. So there's certain sometimes, and the same thing with fans sometimes. You know, your fans will be right on some, and they'll be very, very wrong on others. But there are times where I just think, how in the world does an entire building, like how does a team, an organization, value a player there? For example, when I'm looking at draft stuff, and then you talk to other teams, they don't value them there. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes groupthink gets going. That's evaluation purpose, evaluation-wise. But when you make a decision as an organization, a good organization, everyone will get on board because you want to. You don't want to have guys in the pot, in the corner of the room saying, "I didn't want that pick. I didn't need that." Because those are the guys who leak stuff to the media. Some members of the Astros organization were never on board with this pick, and that's never where you want to be either. But with that said, I also think that Dana Brown, when you talk about being competitive or who the Astros would be this year, I guarantee you, I'd be shocked if Dana Brown didn't see the same things we see, John. Like, he's got to know there's a good chance Javier doesn't bounce back. There's a chance that we lose Lance McCullers at some point in the season to injury. He knows. He knows. He's not going to say that publicly. He's not going to say, we're going to have, we're up against it. Obviously, the Mariners are the best team in the division, and then you got a team like the A's who are real up-and-comers. He's not going to say any of that stuff. You can't say that. You got to put on a brave face, but sometimes they are blind to some of the blind spots. That happens too. Rafael Stone, I think he made a miscalculation by not adding a ball handler. I think that was a miscalculation. I don't think it would have cost him an arm and a leg, obviously. That was a miscalculation, but sometimes teams miss. But, Chris, also there's a lot of times that we as fans or media or the collective whole miss and miss badly about guys too, and the teams get it right. I mean, there's plenty of times that happens too. The Knicks stuff with the offensive line, some of that stuff I don't know, because sometimes I do look at some of their moves and think. Ugh.
And the Knicks stuff, I don't know if he actually believes it. Like you said, hey, we're not concerned. Why are you concerned? Oh, I guess Nico's not a very good player. I mean, honestly, you're saying you keep on bringing up one guy when you talk about the offense and the quality of player there. That's it. One guy is all he brought. Oh, I guess Nico's not very good. I guess I don't know anything about football. What? I mean, Nick is a different dude now. I'm pretty sure. I think you're right. He does believe. He did believe.
No, I think
we're
he
not
does
concerned
believe.
About the offensive.
No,
line.
I don't think he was. I don't think he was. You have to remember, there have been a lot of NFL teams who have had average players on the offensive line, and they still get coached up. But that's not the norm. Like, you don't want to ever get into a spot where you have average and you're hoping they just work together as a unit and you get the coaching. Like, you always want to aspire to have above average talent on the offensive line because it's a hard position. The supply side is low for above average talent, so you want to make sure you have those guys. I think Nick just firmly believes what he says most of the time.
Yeah.
I really do.
All right, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. You got anything that you want to talk? Good question, Chris. Good conversation. Anybody else wants in? Come on, 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You hear that, John?
What is this?
What 80s movie where there's a sad kid who gets dumped did this come from? Like, right, was this from Last American Virgin?
No, that's James Ingram.
What was this from? This had to have played in one of these movies.
I don't think Air Supply was, I don't think they were big in the 80s. Believe it or not, you would think so. But I don't think Air Supply made it in a lot of soundtracks. Although this song you would think would be this.
It would have had
the
to
Virgin,
been, right?
Last American Virgin,
yeah,
where he's driving home, but it's not. It was a James Ingram song that was playing. Where he's got tears streaming down his face because the girl who got pregnant by the guy at the football field,
and then he took care of her.
He took care of her. Oh, the other kid,
the other
and then he gave her a necklace and all that stuff. And then at the end of the movie, this is why Gen X is strong. This is why we are mentally tough. Because that kid, guess how the movie ends? With him driving home, driving home with tears in his eyes because she went back to the guy.
Yeah. He took care of her, took care of the thing.
And credits roll like, oh, what? He's the one that did everything. He took
care
of that thing.
Nurse her back to health.
Yeah.
Well, at the end of the day.
It's this way? Yeah, because that's the way life is, punk-ass kids. This is the way life is. She's going to probably screw you over. Get used to it. Roll the credits. Roll the credits. This is life. Roll the credits.
I watched that movie for the first time as, of course, it was in reruns on television. Yeah. I'm watching this, not know what's going to happen. I'm like, what?
It's crazy because now.
I couldn't. She still picked that guy?
So you would never. Now they would run the, what are they called? The screen tests, and they'd have the focus groups. And like, I didn't like the part where she goes back to the guy who she had the abortion with. That's made me uncomfortable. Well. But back in the 80s, they're like, we don't need your stupid focus groups. This is something that happened to my brother. You know, some screenwriter said, that's what happened to Todd. I'm writing it in a movie. Don't change what happened to Todd's life. No focus group is going to change Todd's life.
He walks into that party so thrilled. He thinks, oh, look, I'm looking good. I'm looking clean. She's going to be there.
No.
And he walks into that kitchen and look at her.
Maybe more than any that movie trollop. Ever. Trollop. Maybe more than any movie ever. Last American Virgin is the most real movie where it just does. Even a lot of the John Hughes movies, they ended up with, you know, the good people had good things happen. The bad people had bad things happen, whatever. Last American Virgin's like, this is the way it is. That's the song that he's driving home.
Oh,
and
I'm
he's
playing
crying.
The scene.
Yeah. Oh, it's the scene?
I pulled up the scene.
That's the James Ingram song, and he's crying, and this is the song they play while the virgin gets dumped by the girl that he did everything to help her. And like, movie ends. This is the lesson, kids. Don't trust women. Well, I mean, it shouldn't be, but I felt like that's the lesson that movie, that whoever the director was. How should we end this? I want him crying.
Let's hear the song. This is the song that they played as he's driving off crying.
Yes. Yeah, it's a James Ingram
just
song.
Once can we figure out what we keep doing wrong here.
Oh, yeah.
Blow it, James. While it never lasts
for very long. She's got her head on the other guy's shoulder.
They're
looking
showing
at
it, right?
Yeah. He's like, he's shocked, and she's like, I'm sorry, but she won't let go of this guy.
Love you like a brother.
Does your brother nurse you back to health after an abortion? What brother does that?
Most brothers don't want to know.
No.
No.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's a death knell. You grow, hey, can you write in my yearbook? Yeah, love you like a brother. Throw it. Just never mind. You're like a second brother.
The brother I never had.
The brother I never had. The brother I'm never going to be. Sis, see you at the 10-year anniversary at best. 10-year class reunion,
poor
I mean.
Poor guy.
Love you like a brother. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
That dumb stuff. That's what she got. He got the love you like a brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to.
You got to watch this movie, John.
Yeah. No, I love that movie.
Oh, okay.
I love when the good guys don't win all the time. He was the good guy. And
yeah.
I love a fight.
I love a breakup in a movie. I love all that stuff. But this, as a kid, this one got me. I was like, wait a minute.
No, like, it can't be this.
No, what?
The world can't be this
dark.
This
guy is obviously an awful person. He's a great guy. Maybe a soft boy. But still, he did all the things you're supposed to do.
He did all you're supposed to do.
And
you know what I love about that?
He's got that pink car.
Yeah. I don't remember that, but
he's driving away in a pink car.
This is what you. I like the fact that somebody out there was trying to teach kids. Well, really wasn't made for kids. Now that I think about it, even though it was set in high school, but they were trying to teach you a lesson right off the bat. Sometimes part of Fast Times at Ridgemont High also taught lessons with Stacy, but you learn that somebody said we need to teach these kids early that life isn't going to be fair. So let's go ahead and keep this ending the same. They need to learn. Well, but kids, this is rated R. I don't think kids can watch it. They'll watch it on HBO and when they skip school. They'll watch it when they pretend to be sick because they didn't finish their paper and they're home.
I think I'm going to watch this movie tonight and show all the and figure out all the ways Karen is terrible. That's the name of the woman, the girl.
Who, of course, who that's breaks where it came heart. From.
I'm gonna figure
Karen's,
out.
Karen's. That's where Karen's
that's
came
where the
from.
Term
yeah.
Karen came from.
That's where it came from.
I think you might be making that up, but I believe it after watching that movie.
Yeah. Stupid Karen.
Diane Franklin, the actress, but still, Last American Virgin. It's a shock to the system and a reality check, guys. If you
Last American Virgin.
Yeah, that's the name of it. Yeah,
that's the name of that movie.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. 1982.
I never heard of it.
1982, The Last American Virgin.
And he looks like a big old dope,
he
too.
He's got all the characteristics of an 80s nerd and all the things. And he tries to get cool. Diane, I think, even helps him with the makeover or something.
What was his name? Who's the actor? He looks
Steve Anton, is that his name?
That's the actor?
Judge Reinhold.
No, that's the cool guy. That's the cool guy.
Oh, Judge is the cool guy?
No, Judge is in the other movie, Fast Times. Steve Anton is the cool guy. I don't know who the nerd is.
I mean, think about that. Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Judge Reinhold is just thinking about his sister's friend and just, you know, back in the day, you didn't have phones or whatever. He's just looking at her in a swimsuit peeking through the bathroom, and then, you know, then it's time to get physical with himself.
His mind takes
and then somebody walks
spot.
In a bathroom on him.
It's the
We're
girl.
We're trying to teach you. Yeah, it's the girl
it's
herself.
It's the girl in question.
Dad, trying to teach you lessons. Lock the door.
That's another lesson you need
That's
to learn.
That's a lesson that you got to learn. Lock the door. There's always lessons they're trying to teach you in the 80s. Okay, if you're going to be doing that and you're going to be, you know, fantasizing about her in her little swimsuit, go ahead and lock the door, Brad.
Or perhaps wait till she leaves. Perhaps wait till everyone leaves.
Oh, yeah. That's what every high school guy's ever done. Wait until somebody left.
There's a lesson. Maybe don't do it in the vicinity of the object of your affection.
Or lock up. Yeah. Or lock the door. Why would you not lock the door?
He made a mistake.
Yeah. And Ron, and then they also try to teach you. And listen, ladies, these messages aren't just for the guys. How about you don't run around sleeping with stereo salesmen like Ron? Okay? Because he's out there for one thing. Okay, Stacey?
Were you a stereo salesman?
you sound like you speak for all stereo salesmen.
Why Ron can't get some? What's wrong with you?
I know. And back then, don't worry. Dabbling with people in high school, that was no big deal in the movies or even anything.
No.
It was like, this is a more recent thing. Like 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds in movies, no problem.
I get older,
no problem.
The chicks stay the same.
They stay the same. That's what I like about high school. I get older, but the chicks just keep staying the same age. And that's just
that's it.
That's just that was Dazed and Confused.
All right, so that's what you brought.
What a dumb.
Well, he wanted the Air Supply.
His name is Lawrence Monoson.
Yeah, he's done some things, not a lot. He wanted Air Supply. I assumed Air Supply would have been in one of those movies. Turns out, no, not really. But James Ingram, definitely.
Yeah. Oh, what? The whole reason I had you play that is because Air Supply is coming here to Houston on Friday, and my daughter, who loves it, my daughter was singing an El DeBarge song. She knew I Like It by DeBarge, not El DeBarge, the DeBarge. I'm like, how do you know this song? She goes, I know it. And then she'll sing other songs from the 80s. And I'm like, how do you, and these songs are all making comebacks
on TikTok
and Reels and whatever. They all, and she knows so many 80s songs. I'm like, how do you know an 80s R&B song? I don't understand how you know it.
Nope.
And she loves, because of her mom, Air Supply. So they're going. I talked to one of the guys who works at Mark Austin, who worked long time guy's been in music and promotions, and he works at the Smart Financial Center. He's like, we've already sold 4,000 tickets. It's like people are going bananas for Air Supply.
That is awesome. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. What 80s movie do you want to bring to the show? You're more than welcome.
What lessons did you learn from a movie?
Yeah, right.
I also learned what a soap party is, where if you don't act a certain kind of way, your whole brigade could put soap in a sock and beat the piss out of you.
Or Coke cans.
Oh,
Bad Boys.
Yeah, man, that was a...
That was
in a youth... What they were in a they were yeah. they were jits they're young yep, jits yep, although yep. It's only in Florida you're a jit
yeah, that was true. More that I related to more than
well getting hit with a pillowcase full of Coke cans as a weapon
yeah
that did feel like one of those gang things that y'all would have done in Chicago back in the day.
All right, 713-780-3776, and if you do hit somebody with a Coke can, maybe you can get them some jewelry from Zadig.
Zadik Jewel. Well, that's a big difference. Yeah, if you were looking to do something nice for someone and not attack them in a youth facility, yeah, then how about you do something like you purchase a wife or maybe a luxury watch. You want to say, sorry, I attacked you in a youth facility, Isai Morales. And maybe Sean Penn could get him a luxury watch like one of the brand new Rolexes they have there. Did you know that they are known for being the spot here in like the state of Texas for the best watches? Everybody who collects luxury watches, and those are appreciating value. Those are very good investments in most instances. If you are someone who loves to collect luxury watches, or maybe you want to get your first, 1801 Post Oak Boulevard is absolutely the spot. Number one, you're going to get the best quality. Number two, you're going to get very good prices. Number three, they buy, they sell, and they trade. So, yes, I'm telling you about the sell, but did you know that they'll buy yours or they will even trade as well? So maybe you're looking to offload some of your luxury watches. They're looking to buy from you, and they'll also trade as well. So buy, sell, trade the best watches at some of the best prices you're going to find. And we're talking about a boutique location for many of these makers of luxury watches. So you get unique timepieces that no one else is going to have. It's 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. It's Zadik Jewelers.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Ryan in the chat was reminding about the movie Kids. That was a rough one. The movie Kids taught you lessons, too. And the movie 13. Anybody with a daughter should never watch the movie 13. Awful.
13 or Traffic.
Oh, 13, Traffic, Kids. Those are all not great if you have a daughter.
Mm-mm.
Not great.
You never want to show your daughter a movie where the actress in question is trying to break out of her young actress persona.
Yeah, it's like Chloe Sevigny.
Well, that was her.
It was one of them in Kids, but who was the other one who played the robot in? She was the one in 13.
She was the one. I know you're talking about. I can't remember her name. But
she was Dolores in.
She's Dolores in Westworld. Evan Rachel Wood.
Yeah, she was trying to get out of
the little kid stage of her career. And don't take a daughter to one of those movies. You're in trouble.
Yeah, don't take the daughter to the movie 13, where they show you what 13-year-olds do. I'm like, not my 13-year-old. I will say, we did have some trollops in middle school when I was in school, but not in my grade. My grade was the good girls. But two below me, whew, disaster. Disaster.
Mm-mm. Is Ryan on the phone? Is he on the line? All right, let's get him in here. What's up, Ryan?
All right. How y'all doing this morning?
We're doing good.
What's up? But anyways, what about those old horror movies, man? What'd they teach us? Don't be doing stuff in the woods. Don't be smoking stuff. You never know if there's a psychopath around. Just don't be doing stuff. Be a good kid.
Know what they taught me.
All right, later.
Don't be black in a movie,
or especially a sci-fi
a
horror movie.
Don't be the only black guy in a room full of white friends.
Well, you should have always learned that lesson before the movies. but still, the movies, you know, rubber stamped it.
Yeah,
you should have known beforehand.
But going in the woods by yourself and you're going to start doing stuff with somebody.
Yeah,
you're both going to get hacked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, that's a given. They were just teaching you sex was bad. That's all that stuff was about. Hey, sex bad. You die if you have sex.
Yeah, it really was a lot of negative messages.
Well, at that time, you were dying if you had sex, though.
If you were doing it unsafely, yeah.
Yeah.
Stacy. Yeah. Well, look at Forrest Gump. He didn't. He was fine. Nothing happened with him. Love you like a brother. Jenny screwed him over.
Yeah, Jenny really.
Although, no,
there's another one.
I know. She's a, yeah. I got reminded of that by Devin in the chat. Like, Jenny Curran was her name. Forrest Gump.
The girl next door.
It was, and who is that actually who played? Don't tell him. Who's the actress who played?
Robin.
Yep. Robin Penn Wright. Robin Wright Penn, whatever.
Yeah, Robin Wright now, though.
Yeah. She was, yeah. That was different. But yeah, she. Oh yeah. Oh, she's just Robin Wright, huh?
Yeah, she's been divorced a bit for a while now.
Probably because of what she was doing with Kevin Spacey and that bodyguard.
No. She divorced.
Going
Sean,
off with those.
She
two.
Divorced Sean Penn before House of Cards started.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she. And that's another one.
Another one.
He acted great to her.
What?
He did everything for. No. Forrest Gump.
Oh, okay. Forrest. I was like, Penn. What?
No. Forrest Gump did the nice stuff. And what did he get? Love you like a brother.
Well, also.
Thanks a lot.
Also,
see you later. I'm going to get AIDS.
Well, and also.
Which she did get. Which she did get.
And the mother of his child. If we believe her.
Yeah,
if you
I think
believe
that was.
That. You don't believe that?
No. Forrest never hit.
He did.
Forrest didn't hit.
Yeah, he did.
Are we sure? Did we see
yes.
it?
Yes.
We didn't see it.
I mean, could the kid be more Forrest Gump?
Before anything ever happened, he's screaming and yelling. Kid.
Well, they did more stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I haven't seen the movie for all.
That kid was Forrest's
kid. That kid was pretty Forresty, wasn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
Oh, he was. Really?
What's his name?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
No, it's not him. It's another kid from
did he act? Was he acting kind of like Forrest? Is that what we're doing
He
here?
Was smart, which Forrest liked, and little, he was a little surprised by. He
was Forrest smart?
I don't know.
I mean, he did a lot of things. He did a lot of things.
He was an All-American returner for Alabama.
Yeah. I don't know how he got in school.
Well,
what do you SEC.
Mean? What do you mean?
Yeah,
how he could run fast. What do you mean how he got into school?
That's true. And he was Marty's Force Supreme, too.
Linda Borg's the only one I've ever heard of that can't get in school anymore.
And that's hard. I write up draft prospects, and I go look at their bios, and every once in a while I'm like, how the hell? And it actually happens a little bit more than you think, where somebody starts off in a JUCO, and all I can think of was super dumb, arrested at some point. You know, like, you have to screw up not to be able to get into college. A lot of guys can't read, and they're in college. And then you got kids getting 1,600 SATs who can't get into their college. I can't get in. I'm not allowed into this Ivy League school, and I got a 1,600. And how is this guy who's returning punch at a 27-yard-per-clip average who can't read? Well, you said the important thing. 27 yards per punt return is pretty damn good, Carol.
You just answered your question why he could get into school.
Can you return punts?
Haley Joel Osment is the kid's name. I was trying to figure it out. Another kid with three names.
I mean, you got to be able to return punts sometime. If you can return punts, if you can return kicks, it's good enough. Because teams is a really important part of college football now.
Now?
Well, they can still kick off into bejesus, but in the NFL, kick returns are back. I once again care about college kick returners.
Do you have to now look at them again?
Yep. Because for a while, I was like, for what? Who cares if they return kicks? Big deal anyway. They're just going to kick the ball into the seventh row. Not anymore. Kick returns are back. We were worried about head trauma, but now we're not.
Thank you, Roger.
That is a good. I'm glad it's back.
Yeah. Thanks, Roger.
You're glad it's back too, aren't you?
Yeah. Is that why they pay him $80 million a year? Because he got kick returns back? Nice job.
Well, it didn't hurt.
It did something for that $80 million. Whatever. All right, 713-780-3776. Any 80s movie that you need to refer to, you're more than welcome to get in here. We also got some draft stuff that we have to talk about. Daniel Jeremiah had a prediction for our Texans that I'd like you to look at and see if
Let's
you agree.
Let's go. But I had first, a complaint the other day that I don't talk enough draft on her, that I have all
you
this
save
draft
all your
intel
good stuff
and I don't ever
for
talk
off
about
the show.
It.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah,
you hoard that information.
I'll put it on my
from
show
us here.
Like you do.
Yeah.
You work all day on it,
and then you don't bring any of it to the table. Congratulations.
All right. Then I'll start spilling tea then. Coming up next, Jordan Tyson. DJ kind of put it out there.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah.
Jordan Tyson's going to fall.
Yep.
Can't get his hammy right. Won't test. And by the way, your guy, Keontae Scott, screwed himself by not working out.
What?
Yeah, Keontae Scott's going to fall.
Why?
Teams are pissed that he didn't run. He didn't work out.
Pissed.
He didn't do anything.
Just watch the film.
They say he can't cover on film. They needed to see him move a little bit.
Whatever.
I can tell you, some of these guys is not going to matter a whole lot, like Caleb Downs, who don't work out. Some of these other guys who decided, I'm not doing anything. Joe Royer, the tight end from Cincinnati, some dumb.
I don't know. Keontae Scott visited the Texans yesterday.
I know. He'll be in consideration in the fourth.
third.
Actually, he fits the Texans a lot. Actually, Keontae Scott is somebody we should look at for the Texans. I could see him being a D'Amico guy for sure.
Now all of a sudden, the tide has turned with you.
No. Well, I'm not sure he goes in the top three rounds. I've got him there, but I can't find
some teams
that are like
pissed.
Him. Yeah.
Well, does anybody like to go to the Rockets games?
Yeah, I do. And you know what? I like going to Rockets playoffs game. Been to Rockets playoffs games. Actually, when my father-in-law had tickets, we went for like a whole, whole year. He had season tickets, and it was awesome taking the kids to the Rocket games, go with my father-in-law. Then we went to the playoffs. So, see, that's the thing. When you get season tickets, you get access to the playoffs, and that is absolutely awesome. And that's what the Rockets want you to know, that right now as we get close to the playoffs, you can take a look at season ticket membership and get access to this season's playoffs. Plus, obviously, all the best seats are the best prices for 2026, 2027. You get those best seats, best prices, along with exclusive benefits and events all year long. So enjoy Rocket basketball in the off season. They are on a little bit of a run right now, and you can look forward to next year when everyone's healthy and they make another run to the championship. It takes all of us all season long. Get started today at rockets.com/radio. Feel the energy. Rockets.com/radio.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here, ESPN 97.5. So, NFL draft. Daniel Jeremiah has trading down at 28.
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility.
And what, so you trade back, get more. I'm still convinced he has to do, and long-term, he needs offensive line that is actually going to stick.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. But will he do that now?
It's about time he does it. I mean, I don't know. What position does somebody walk in with the 28th, or if he moves back to 33, 35, 37, because he's got 38 too. What position starts right away?
I'm not sure any on this team start right away.
Right.
But the one who's most likely to play, which position gets into the game even if they don't start? There's two positions I can think of.
Defensive line.
Yep.
Defensive line, you don't have to, I mean, they rotate in and out, so you'll get on the field more.
There's three positions. But yes, defensive line, rotational defensive tackle, 100%.
Defensive back, a corner.
Not really. They go nickel. They're a nickel all the time anyway.
So, linebacker.
So those, they come off the field. I'm thinking wide receiver. A variety of wide receivers play. And tight ends. You can have
you're already pretty loaded there.
Well, I'm just saying those are the positions.
Yeah.
The ones that make the most sense for the Texans are defensive tackle.
Yeah,
that makes the most sense. Of all of them, defensive tackle makes the most sense. I think that has a good chance of being. I think linebacker. Both linebackers are in the last year of their contracts. Aziz Alshire and Henry To'o are in the last year of their contracts. I think linebacker makes a ton of sense, and I think it will be on the board as a potential pick in the second round. I had Anthony Hill. I don't think Anthony Hill's going to the Texans, though. I don't think Anthony Hill goes in the first. As a matter of fact, I know for a fact that I'm probably high man on Anthony Hill. And after talking to some teams this week, trying to figure out draft slotting, I'm not sure Anthony Hill goes in the top two rounds. So I'll be right on that, of course. They'll be dreadfully wrong, and Anthony Hill will become a really good linebacker. But apparently teams don't like Anthony Hill as much as I do. Because I'm like, where do you see Anthony Hill? 1, 2? And they're like, three, four? Like, what? No, the guy from Texas, Anthony Hill. Yeah. Well, the linebacker from Texas, you got like top 40 maybe, or no, like third, I guess. What? This team's dumb. I'm going to talk to another team. Hey, other team, So what do you guys think of, and I'll set him up, what do you think of a Jeremiah Trotter? Oh, I like him, second round. What about Anthony Hill? He's pretty good, too. And, like him below Trotter, probably sometime in, like, the third. The guy who ran a 4.51 who can rush the passer, Anthony Hill, and a very good instincts, and I don't know. I think he's a little stiff in coverage. Anthony Hill from Texas, who I put in the first round of the Texans in my last mock. Ooh, poof. That's too rich for my blood. We got him in a third. Some scouts put a fourth on him. Like, what? You guys should all be fired. You're going to really regret it when Anthony Hill becomes a really good player and he gets drafted in the third. So now I'm having to change that. Jordan Tyson, wide receiver. Arizona State has a hamstring that just has not healed properly. Although his agents would tell you everything's fine. We're just not going to run him because we every time you try to train, you know, you keep re-aggravating the hamstring. But he got this in the Texas Tech game. And that was during the regular season. And so he's going to have no 40 time. He's going to have no testing. The hamstring has been an issue. He's going to fall. I think he falls into the 20s, into the 20s somewhere. So he's going to fall. Reuben Bain. Man, I talked to three teams yesterday. All of them are worried about his arms. Every single team is worried about his arms. Now, one of the guys I talked to said he's all in on Bain, but he's not a decision maker. So they all are very – it's so funny. Offensive line and defensive line, they all tell you the same thing. This idea that arm length doesn't matter is stupid. It's the dumbest thing ever. Don't listen to the general – draft media or the public, because it's a really big thing with most players. They are terrified of short arm guys. And historically, guys like Reuben Bain don't even get picked in the top 10. They don't even get picked in the first round, historically. But so, he will. He will. Now, Cassius Howell, I think, could fall out because he's got the same problem, but he's not strong like, and he's not good against the run like Reuben Bain is.
Is it true Bailey might go second, not Arvell Reese?
It's true. I think it comes down to those two guys. The Jets have to decide, do we want the guy who can rush right now, or do we want to bet on the guy that we think has the highest upside? And so if they want right now, Bailey will be the pick. If they want highest upside, it may be Reese. But I think it's between those two guys. Those two. And they don't. The Jets don't have to play any games. Everyone knows Mendoza's going first. They don't need to put any smoke out there. They just pick whoever they want to pick it to. Doesn't really matter. Unless they feel like they can con a team into trading up to two, but that's just not going to happen this year. There's not a lot of guys that you're dying to trade up for. Caden Proctor could be a surprise pick at six to the Browns, something to keep your eye on. He could go six or he could go like 17 to the Lions. Wide span there, but he looks like an NFL player physically, so teams tend to draft those guys accordingly. Spencer Fano could fall further than people think. Could fall a little bit. Not going to be the third pick. There's teams that really have an issue with Spencer Fano. They're just not in love with Spencer Fano. So that's the tackle out of Utah. He could fall a little bit. I'm trying to think of players. Don't know what to do with Jeremiah Love. I have no idea. Carnell Tate is pretty much locked inside the first six picks. I don't think you'll see him fall out of there. That's going to be the interesting thing is Mekhi Lemon will be the second wide receiver off the board, and then it's going to be interesting to see the third wide receiver off the board is. You know, KC Concepcion of the Aggies may have an outside shot of being a third wide receiver. Could be Denzel Boston. Could be Omar Cooper. I'm no longer locked in that Jordan Tyson's a third wide receiver off the board. I no longer believe that.
Wow.
Defensive tackles. There's a chance that none of them go into first, but the guy that I've been putting in the second, I've had a couple people tell me now put him in the first, is Peter Woods from Clemson. More teams are betting on his 24 tape than his 25 tape, so Peter Woods can make it in the first. Caden McDonald is from Ohio State, who I like with the Texans. I'm not sure if his mentality is – I don't know if he has the D'Amico mentality or not, or if he's – I don't know. I don't know anything about that, but – he could go in the second round, so he's a guy to keep an eye on for the Texans. Because, you know, if the just think about it this way. If the Arizona Cardinals or the Jets or one of those teams wanted to come up and get a fifth-year option on Ty Simpson and get a quarterback, then the Texans can move from 28 and move into the very early part of the second round. Now, what do they get in return for that? Maybe they get a third where they also give up a fifth or something like that, but it's not a bad idea. I could see Nick doing that. I could see him moving back into the early part of the second round and still getting one of three guys he has targeted, especially if he's looking at defensive tackles. Caleb Banks is not going to get drafted in the first round for Florida. Broke his foot again. They saw a broken foot at the combine. This guy's had foot injuries and issues. I think he still goes in the second. Cade McDonald, I think, is going in the second, but maybe late first at defensive tackle. These are guys that the Texans could consider. You Texas Tech fans, Jacob Rodriguez, teams really like him. He's locked into the second round. I think he'll go ahead of Anthony Hill, by the way, from Texas. So Jacob Rodriguez, good for him. Good football player. You have the linebacker Caleb Elarms-Orr for TCU fans, probably late in the third. Torian York, bad news for Aggies, probably going like sixth or seventh. Good football player. People acknowledge good football players, just small, and he's not very fast. Small and slow doesn't really play all that well in the NFL, so I would say he's probably
later. You don't think
later
slow and small
no.
is going to get you places?
No. No, it's funny talking to – like, and there are teams who will tell you, yeah, we think he's a pretty good football player, but you don't draft those guys. You don't get draft those guys inside the first four rounds for sure, and usually not even in the top five rounds. So he's going to fall. Scooby Williams could go undrafted. There's some people who don't like they don't trust the kid, the person in general. Late to undrafted for him. Will Lee, I think, in the fourth from Texas A&M corner, outside shot at the third, but probably fourth. A.J. Halsey, formerly University of Houston, plays at LSU now. There's a lot of teams that really like him. I think he goes in the second round, the safety.
Where's the U of H tight end go?
Probably about sixth, Koziel.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably about sixth. There's a lot of competition from, like, the fourth through the sixth in terms of tight ends, a lot of competition. So I think Tanner's not a blocker at all, so I think he probably goes in about the sixth. Fifth would be the absolute highest. I do think he gets drafted, but he's between fifth and seventh.
Does he have the body to put weight on?
Not really. He's kind of a lanky player. He doesn't have the toughness. Like, he's not a physically tough guy. He's not wired really to be much of a blocker. So he's got to be the best pass catcher he can be. And he's got some ability.
Yeah.
He's got some ability in that, but I don't think teams are going to view him. He's not a special athlete, and he's a one-way type of tight end. So he's going to be more like a sixth. Trying to think of other locals. I think Bud Carter, I like him in the third from TCU safety, but there's a good chance he could end up in the fourth. He's just a little bit undersized. Other Aggies, Demetrius Crownover, tackle, probably fourth, but could go third. Trey Zune, more like a fourth. The tackle who's going to move down to center could be a fourth rounder. Some teams don't like him much at all, and other teams kind of like him. So I think he's probably in the fourth round. McCutcheon from University of Houston, cornerback, sixth rounder. I'm staying kind of local here. Jack Indries, I like him more than I'm getting. Like, I think he's fourth or fifth tight end from University of Texas. I think Indries could have stayed in, too. He probably should have stayed in. That was probably not a great move for Jack Indries. But I like him, but I think he's probably fourth at the earliest. He won't go in the third, so he's either fourth or fifth rounder. Malik Muhammad, I thought was going to go higher than he is, but he's not going to go till day three. Cornerback, University of Texas. Anybody else? Michael Trigg, tight end who jumped 27-inch vertical leap, one of the worst I've ever seen, has fallen like a rock, and the personality's bothering some teams, so I don't think he goes until about the fifth. So, just trying to stay with some kind of local or relatively local guys.
All right. Anybody got questions? We're here. Lance is here.
So, are you happy? I unloaded everything I got there for draft stuff.
No, you did. You did. You unloaded the clip. There's no question.
It's about time.
Yeah.
The problem is the clip was so full because you had kept it from us.
Saving everything for NFL Network as opposed to, you know, what made you today.
Wow.
Right.
A couple drips and drabs every now and then would have been fine. You didn't have to unload the clip, except you had it fully loaded because you kept everything from us.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's like you're a TV machine gun that never, ever, ever has to reload.
Yeah. That's what it felt like.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. And you know how it is in TV. In TV, you got, like, I got all this stuff to say, and then, like, in my ear here, all right, wrap it up.
You get
and
like
that's what you,
you
save
get like 45
it for.
Seconds
when you
for
know
TV.
You
yeah.
can't even get it all out.
Oh well. Man, let me tell you a second about Cade McDonald. I love Cade McDonald. This is a guy who just turned 21. He's very physical. All right, 10 seconds, and we're gonna wrap. He's Ryan Day has really dark beard. He dyes his beard. Cade McDonald, not a good pass rusher, but also he's good against the run. Back to you, Judy Batista. Like that's all I get. I've been saving this. I'm not saying anything on the radio. I'm saving this for you guys, and this is it.
This is it.
I get a 3-minute segment.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
And here we listen to your dribble and drab for like what seemed like about an hour and a half just now.
You see, that's why I don't do this. Good. That's why I don't do this, because you don't appreciate it.
Oh, no, I appreciate
the
it.
The draftics would appreciate it.
Hey, was Dell in your ear telling you to rap?
No. He just does this.
I just say.
He just does the break. He did do the breaking motion.
He did go to the bathroom during it.
And I went to go get my energy drink. Oh. But you got it all out.
Yeah.
You had a draft colonic, and now we can move on.
All right. That's fine.
Right.
That's fine.
Right.
I'm fine with that.
Let's talk about your property taxes right now. Hate them. Hated them. I hated this time of year because I tried to do it, and I was like, my wife was, have you protested yet? I'm going to wait. Well, I put it off, finally did. Then I went up against them. Win some, lose some. And when you lose, it's terrible. Ownwell, I don't want to say they don't lose, but how about this? A 94% success rate in Montgomery County. And houses, 250 to 500,000 range. They doubled. Brazoria County doubled your money. Doubled. $500,000 to $750,000 range. More than two times what they saved, what Ownwell saved for you opposed to other firms. Harris County, an average net savings of 21 to 51% higher than competitors. These are just ridiculous numbers. You can expect to save, on average, $774 a year by signing up. Ownwell has lowered property taxes for more than 500,000 Texans. I'm giving you a lot of numbers. Well, it's a numbers game. Here's a number that you need to remember. 3 minutes. Because that's all it takes to sign up. 3 minutes. Then they do everything. And you don't have to do a thing. If you're like me and just, I got to do let Ownwell do it. They don't say that. They actually want to save you money. Don't wait. The deadline to protest is May 15th for most counties. Save money on your property taxes with Ownwell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes at ownwell.com. That's ownwell.com. Let them know I sent you when you complete your sign up at ownwell.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.